This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Welcome. If it's your first time at Restoration, I'm so glad you're here with us, and I'd love to meet you afterward. We love this pioneering work in progress in downtown St. Joe. We love that it isn't perfect, because that means that we're just depending on God to continue to do the work so he gets the credit, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. We put ourselves in situations that if we could do it, we wouldn't need God and we would get the credit. But you're in situations where you can't do it, only he can. He gets the credit for it, amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. So it's been a week like that for us here. You know, it seems like it's been an age ago, but last Monday, wow. What a thing happened in our city. And it was interesting, you know, reading the Facebook comments. I've decided that God invented Facebook just to reveal people's attitudes. It's like dropping your drawers and showing everybody your rear ends. Like, I don't want to see that. Because everybody's all grumping and being negative. I can't even tell you some of the words that were used about our city. Big disappointment. Oh, man, it's cloudy. I'm thinking, were you... even awake? Were your eyes even open? Now, we got a call in the middle of last week from a man who is known around the world. He's internationally, known. And he's like, what are you guys doing for the eclipse? And I'm just like, see, a wise man knows to say, whatever you want us to do. Whatever you want us to do, sir. He goes, well, I'd like to come to St. Joe to pray. Because there's a reason why your city's in the path of totality. And I want to come and bring a few intercessors, but you can't tell anybody about it. You know, Bill, you know this is true, but when a man of that stature goes somewhere, you just can't announce that he's going to be there. Because you'd have stampede and security problems. So he just said, I need to come in under the radar. So I didn't tell you all about it. I apologize for that. He didn't even tell his people about it. He just showed up. And I'll show you some pictures from last Monday. So during the eclipse, we were here with Rabbi Kurt Landry. Just still blows me away that he was here in this house on this platform. And I couldn't tell you about it till today. And we're still not going to make it public because people would be mad, right, that we didn't tell him. But he was here because he feels there's a purpose for St. Joe, that there's something happening here. And he came to Restoration. And we also had some of our friends from Kansas City, some of the ladies who intercede for us on a regular basis, and Mary Neergarth and her clan. That's Mary. She was here with us last December. She's been such an encouragement. And they pray for us nonstop, guys. Listen to me. These ladies who intercede for, you know, Kurt Landry have adopted us, and they pray for us too. And we stood here on the platform, and we just proclaimed the destinies, the purposes of heaven for this house. And I'm telling you, it was powerful. And we heard the thundering from heaven, right, like we did this morning. And we heard the rainfall. We knew that God was just pouring out. And Rabbi said, I want to go outside. I want to go out there on the grass during totality. I want to blow our shofars and just shout to the heavens during this time of darkness. See, there's an awakening happening in America. Or let's say there needs to be one. And if nothing gets your attention like total darkness in the middle of the day, you know, that kind of will do it. So that's why he came here. We went out there. We took our umbrellas, right? It's raining. It's thundering. The clouds, you see those clouds? They were just kind of like boiling, you know? It was very cool. Couldn't produce that kind of special effect if you had to. And we were just blowing our little lungs out, you know, during the darkness. And right at the height of totality, it stopped raining. We put our umbrellas down. And I am not kidding you. This little window opens up right above us. And we got to see the show. We got to see the ring of fire with the moon in the center. And Rabbi had just prayed, God, open the heavens. And it was like, I still haven't recovered. It literally was like it took me several hours just to kind of decide if I was still on planet Earth, you know. It was one of those experiences, and I'm just so humble and grateful. Church, we need to just say thank you, Jesus, that he's included us. Yeah. and what he's doing in the earth today. Yes. To send a man of that stature here. And we still don't understand what it's all about, but I don't have to understand it. I don't have to know what it's all about. I just say, thank you, God, that you have remembered us and that we're a part of your plan. Isn't that awesome? I'm just so thrilled. I wish that I could have invited y'all next time. Rabbi said this was the very first place he's ever prayed before he spoke. Something significant about that. So he will be back, and we'll let you know when that happens. Other things going on big this week. Matt told you about our night of worship this Friday. No accident that a band from Charlottesville, Virginia. Anybody ever heard of that town in the news the last couple of weeks? Only the Lord could set that up, that we are intersecting with this band at the center of this controversy. He's brought them to St. Joe to help us celebrate the, it's not just the launch of a CD, it's the opening of this voice, the sounds of this house now going global. Come on. There's something about that. People on iTunes will be able to download and access the sounds of restoration. Come on. That is just like too wild. And, you know, September 1 is also an important day in our history because that's the day that we have to purchase these buildings. And I'll be just, can I be Ray Garcia 100 with you? We don't know how we're going to do that yet. So we need you to pray this week. Would you do that? Would you pray with us? Do you agree with us in prayer that God will open the heavens like he did Monday, show us his power, do something that we can't explain or could never take credit for? That's what we need. And God can do it. Amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God can do that. And he's going to do it. Okay? I believe that. Sunday, Matt said we're in the big room. I loved being together last week in one service. It was awesome. The problem is we can't do that every week. I knew last weekend was going to be probably a lighter weekend because of the eclipse and all this stuff. Today, we couldn't have done it. We couldn't have been able to hold everybody in one room, but we can in there. So next Monday, we're going to be together to celebrate 10 o'clock, and it's going to be awesome. And next Sunday, right, next Sunday, sorry about that, we'll be in the big room. And then Tuesday night this week, as Matt said, we're going to prepare. So love to have you help with that. If you can't come Tuesday, Shane can use you any day through the week, helping get the sound and lights ready for that. And then tonight, we'll talk about that later. Tonight, a chance to really come together as a church family and prepare ourselves for what's to come. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 10, if you would, this morning, as we continue on in our God Stories series. Monday was something miraculous, something supernatural in the heavens. The whole nation was looking up. I found it very interesting. Even pictures of President Trump looking up, right? And everybody said, put your glasses on, right? It's like, but even the attention of the highest office in the land, God got everybody's attention coast to coast on Monday. And I believe he's wanting to get our attention as well. That's why Rabbi was in the house. He really felt, and I agreed, that this is a season, as we sang this morning, for awakening to happen. And does God have our attention? Are we looking up? And that's the message today. Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Another interesting time when God used signs in the heavens to display his power. Joshua 10, verse 1. Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua, you know who Joshua is, right, had captured and completely destroyed Ai and killed its king, just as he had destroyed the town of Jericho and killed its king. We know it wasn't Joshua who destroyed Jericho, was it? It was God, the God of Joshua. He also learned that Gibeonites had made peace with Israel and were now their allies. He and his people became very afraid when they heard all this because Gibeon was a large town, as large as the royal cities and larger than Ai, and the Gibeonite men were strong warriors. So King Adonai Zedek of Jerusalem sent messengers to several other kings, Hoham of Hebron, Piram of Jarmuth, Japhia of Lachish, and Debir of Eglon. Apologies to those men whose names I've butchered. Come and help me destroy Gibeon, he urged them, for they have made peace with Joshua and the people of Israel. So these five Amorite kings combined their armies for a united attack. They moved all their troops into place and attacked Gibeon. The men of Gibeon quickly sent messengers to Joshua at his camp in Gilgal. Don't abandon your servants now, they pleaded. Come at once, save us, help us. For all the Amorite kings who live in the hill country have joined forces to attack us. So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Verse 9, Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and took the Amorite armies by surprise. The Lord threw them into a panic, and the Israelites slaughtered with great number all of them at Gibeon. Then the Israelites chased the enemy along the road to Beth Horon, killing them all along the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As the Amorites retreated down the road from Beth Horon, the Lord destroyed them with a terrible hailstorm from heaven that continued until they reached Azekah. The hail killed more of the enemy than the Israelites killed with the sword. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. Is this event not recorded in the book of Jashar? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and it did not set as on a normal day. There has never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. Then Joshua and the Israelite army returned to their camp at Gilgal. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that these stories recorded for us in history so that today we might learn that the God of Joshua, the God who makes the sun stand still, the God who gives victory to his people despite overwhelming odds is the same God working on our behalf today. Open our eyes and ears to hear your word and let it change us. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Several points I want you to write down this morning that we take from this story. I just felt on the week that we saw this supernatural display in the heavens, I was drawn to this God story of another time that the heavens displayed the glory of God and brought victory. And the first point is this. Sometimes you can think you're fighting a righteous battle, but the Lord isn't in it. See, this king of Jerusalem, that caught my attention. He's the king of Jerusalem. What? His name means Lord of Righteousness. Whoa. The king of Jerusalem is fighting against Joshua, the man of God, the man who had the mandate from Moses that God had said, do not be discouraged, do not be afraid. I'm going to give you this land. He's on a tear to complete a mission, and this guy named Lord of Righteousness is opposed to him. And in fact, not only is he opposed, he gathers a little entourage of five kings and all their armies. I'm thinking, dude, you are fighting on the wrong side. You are spitting against the wind. He has the name, right? Yeah? But he's in the total wrong side of the battle. And sometimes we can miss what God is doing and even be opposed to what God is doing. I just, you know, the things that I saw this week out of people's mouths, they totally missed what God was doing. And we're so disappointed because their party got spoiled, right? Had a little pity party, and sometimes it got worse. There are names I couldn't even use from church to describe how horrible our city is, how we failed again, how nothing good ever happens here. I'm like, you better shut up. Talking about my city.
That's right.
Better be careful. It's a city that God loves. You don't talk about something God loves. You can be on the wrong side of the battle. It's like, you know, and I'm not even getting political today. I'm just telling you, I don't care who is president. You better watch your mouth about what you say. I'm just as ticked at believers today who are spouting off at Trump than I was at believers who were spouting off at Obama. Come on. Where is the fear of God? What is wrong with us? Our help does not come from Pennsylvania Avenue. We need to be praying for Pennsylvania Avenue. Am I not saying that everything they do is perfect? Far be it. You're never going to find a perfect person sitting in the White House. Come on. But whoever's sitting there, you better be praying for that man or woman. You better be on your face. You better be on your knees crying out to God because God is bringing judgment to this nation. He is. Now, that is not a big, heavy, negative word. It didn't have to be. Rabbi says this. I love it. He said, judgment is a friend to those who love righteousness. If you don't love righteousness, it's not your friend. Judgment just means God's waking us up. And he did something that we've never seen before in our lifetime. Coast to coast. It's been, you know, since that room was an auditorium, the last time we saw something like that in America. Tell me that there isn't an awakening. And he's going to do it again in another 7 years. It's just like, whoa, God's getting our attention. He wants to get our attention. I said this after Monday, you know, reading all the comments. I'm just like, you know, very few human beings in their lifetime, very few people who've ever lived got to witness what we witnessed Monday. And we were disappointed because it didn't meet up our expectations. Are you kidding me? It got dark in the middle of the day. Come on. And the cloud cover just made it all the darker, you know? It's like, whoa, hearing the thunder roll, watching those clouds boil, seeing that, I still can't believe I saw it.
We didn't know where the sun was.
We didn't even know where the sun was. You couldn't tell. And there it was, boom, right above us. Like, oh my gosh. It was like, it took me hours to just get my bearings straight again, you know? It's like, God, what did you just do? And we have to be aware that God is moving. He's speaking. He's doing something in this hour. We've got to hear his voice and not be like this knucklehead fighting against the work of God. Don't be fighting against the work of God. Watch what comes out of your mouth, because guess where that originates? Right here. Be careful, man. If you can't at least speak for the Lord, keep your trap shut. You don't want to be caught in judgment on the wrong side of the battle, like this monkey was, okay? The second point, Joshua didn't take the easy way out. He didn't. Neither can we. Listen, when you go home, I want you to read Joshua chapter 9. I didn't have time to give you the front story here. But these Gibeonites, see, they're very crafty people. This was a neighboring city. This was one of the cities on Joshua's to-do list to check off, right? To conquer. They knew that. They're just a few miles down the road. They had seen what God did through Joshua. They're like, we are toast. What can we do? So they go to Joshua and pretend to be from a distant land, wanting to make a treaty with Joshua. And they did it well, man. They put on these old holy clothes, smeared dirt all over their faces, and put on their worst saddles on their beasts of burden. And they even brought dry, moldy bread to show that they had traveled a long distance. I mean, they had it down, baby. Like, oh, Joshua, we've come from a distant land just to make peace with you. Like, you sure you're not from down the road? Oh, no, look at this dry, moldy bread. You want some? You know, it's like, okay, no, thank you. All right, we'll make a peace treaty with you. Bam, then it was revealed. They're just from down the road. And the people were kind of ticked at that. But Joshua said, listen, we gave them our word. We swore an oath. We can't go back. So now, fast forward to now, knucklehead and his buddies have amassed their armies. They're attacking the Gibeonites, same people that made this covenant. Joshua promised that he wouldn't kill them. He didn't promise he wouldn't let somebody else do it. How convenient. Wow. Thank you, Lord. It's going down. I have nothing to do with it. I don't have to get my hands dirty. Joshua said, no way. I'm a man of integrity, a man of my word. I've got to do what I said I would do. Could have taken the easy way out, but he didn't. And neither can we. Joshua was not only bound not to kill the Gibeonites himself, but he fulfilled the spirit of the vow. And he chose to honor his word. My third point is this: God may send you help from someone you did not expect. See, in our mind, we think, here's how it's got to happen. Da, 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 da. And God says, oh, really? So you got it figured out, and I'm limited to your ability to reason this. You think I'm limited by your limited vision? You think that I don't have resources that you don't know about? Listen to me. God is not limited in resources. There is no limit to his resource. Are you kidding me? In fact, he kind of just loves to surprise you now and then. So didn't see that one coming, did you? I love it that now these Gibeonites, who the Bible describes as mighty warriors, these were the men that were with me at Jabez this weekend. Come on, mighty warriors. God had now made allies, and they were fighting together with Joshua and the children of Israel. Pretty good allies. You don't know where God's going to send help to you from. He just might want to blow you away. This week, God sent us unexpected help from another place. He brought some powerful men and women into this house to come alongside us and fight with us and to contend for the promises of God. I cannot tell you, church, how important that was. I just, you know, I was on my knees right here just bawling my eyes out, just reminding the Lord of the promises he's made over this house. Apostle Jay, the man of God who was seen as a leader over 350 tribes, first man to stand in this house and pray and said, God, I pray, I call forth the millionaires and the billionaires. Come on. I'm just like, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord. And then he says, and this place will be a place where people will come from all over the nation to learn how to transform their cities. And I said, oh, Jesus. You know, I want to believe, help my unbelief, right? You know? And Monday on my face with these men and women of God proclaiming and making prophetic declarations, I just said, I don't know how, but I don't have to know. I'm in agreement with the Word of God. And he sent us help, you know, to come and rush alongside us in our hour of need. And I just believe that wasn't an accident. We don't know how God will choose to answer the cry of our heart, which is really the cry of heaven. Heaven's will shall be accomplished. We just get to choose to participate. Say amen to that. Because we do choose, don't we? To just cooperate with heaven, okay? Next point, God, I believe, is looking for warriors in this hour. Those mighty men and women who will rise up. Church, it is time to rise up. It is time to awaken. We sang it earlier. You know, this might seem like the waiting period, and it is, but I'm telling you, he's in the waiting. What are we going to do during the waiting? Are we going to fall asleep on the couch? Are we going to just stand back and say, well, let's see? You know, I'll be impressed when I see God show off. See, that wasn't who Joshua was. That wasn't what he did. He didn't sit around and wait for the Lord to accomplish his promises. He got active. He got involved in the process. God had given Joshua this promise. The Lord said, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Joshua took God at his word and said, okay, all right, I'm not going to be afraid to go into battle because God has made a promise. God has made a promise to you to never leave you, never forsake you, that his purposes for your life will be accomplished. They will be. I'm speaking that to you today. I'm prophesying over you. God's plan and purpose for your life will be accomplished. Will you get engaged in the process? Yes. Only one who can stop his plan and purpose is you.
That's right.
Ain't no enemy can stand before you. Jesus said, on this rock I will build what?
My
church. And the gates of hell can't even. Come on, gates of hell, that'd make a great horror flick, right? Come on, gates of hell, that'd make anybody fear and tremble. But God said, ain't going to stop my church. Come on, not going to stop my church because we're moving forward. Who's moving forward with me? That's the question he's asking today. Who's moving with me? Joshua said, here I am. As for me and my house, we're getting after it. We're going to do this. It was a command from heaven. Joshua faced five kings and their united army. Come on. Wow. That's pretty solid opposition. And despite that, how did he respond? It says, he therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. Joshua could have said, God said it. I believe it. I'm going to just take a nap. Wake me when it's over. No, he knew that he had to participate. He had something to do. He had to activate what God had said. He didn't sit back passively and watch God work without his participation. He said, I got to be engaged in the process. Listen, this march from Gilgal to Gibeon was only about 20 miles uphill, 3,300 feet in elevation. It took them 8 to 10 hours marching all night long. There were some sweaty boys by the time they got to their destination. They had to put some muscle in it, had to put some skin in the game. God didn't just expect them to just sit back and just watch. He said, no, are you going to engage with me? And can I tell you this? The same challenge is to us today. I mean, I just got to tell you, church, there's a destiny that we have to contend for. And we can't just sit back and just be content. Like, well, whatever. If we can't buy the buildings, we have to move out. I guess that's the way it is. No, we've got to contend for the promise. God has made a promise to us. I know we're supposed to be in that room. I know this house is supposed to be an asset, a treasure for this city, that we can bring the kingdom in greater measure, and other people are going to come from other places to see how to transform their city. Why would we walk away from that? Why would we just passively say, well, I just go to church. I don't know. Come on. There's more for us. There's more opportunity to participate, to engage with God. That's why we were blowing shofars and looking like fools out there on the grass, because we're believing God for something bigger. Yeah. We're not satisfied with just letting the darkness take over. You can sit back and curse the darkness, or you can say, no, my God is bigger than that. My God has a plan, and his plan will be fulfilled. I'm not going to just sit back and be the king of righteousness and flap my gums and be critical of everything. I'm going to jump in and be a part of the solution, not just criticize what's going on. Come on. We have a decision to make. God does his work, but he draws us into working with him. We can't do what he does, but he chooses to partner with us. And then we sit back and go, whoa. They march all night from Gilgal, and then God sends mega hailstones. Put some big old knots on them boys' heads. Hailstones killed more than the sword did that day. And Joshua wasn't content still. Man, says the Lord routed them before Israel. And then Joshua made a bold request. He knew that they couldn't just stop. You know, well, we had a victory. Woohoo, okay, great. No, he's like, no, there's more to do. There's more to do. So, God, I'm asking you to do something audacious. I'm going to ask you make the sun stand still. And by golly, the sun stood still and did not set that day. You're like, how could that happen? I don't know. All I know is the sun didn't set that day. Come on, quit trying to figure it out. People are like, well, technically, the sun doesn't move, so I'm like, shut up. Just be quiet. Just open your stinking eyes and see. Come on. Why do you have to analyze everything? God is at work. Look at your life. Look at how far he's brought you. You think you got here by your skill? I don't think so. All I know is for me, I'd been dead a long time ago. I'd have messed it up so bad I wouldn't even be around. But God in his mercy. Man, when we sing, he saved my soul, you ought to be jumping and shouting and giving high praises to God, because he rescued you. He rescued you. You were in the land of the dead. You were the zombie kid, right? And he brought you back to life. And he gave you life, abundant life. Look around you. Be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for your life. That's why those kids in Sudan can at midnight be singing, our God is an awesome God. And we're complaining because it was a little rainy coming to church this morning. Come on. God, wake us up. Man, I was talking to Pastor Roy Wolftail yesterday. He said, tell me about Togo. I couldn't even get through it without bawling. I said, Pastor Roy, we need a move of God in America. I never saw it as clearly as I have since coming back from Togo. Because God is moving in that African nation. He is moving. I'm telling you, the people are so hungry. They're crying. I just saw Bishop Paul's post this morning. The lady preaching today, man, she was torching the house down. And the people were just shouting, more, bring it on, we want more. I said, God, give us that kind of hunger here in America. We've grown way too satisfied with the status quo. And we sit back, comfortable, and just criticize. Or just go to church. I'm just like, guys, listen, this isn't a beat you up message. This is a, oh my gosh, church, God has so much for us. But we kind of gots to have as I want to. You know what I mean? We can't just be satisfied saying, well, gosh, I went to church. I might even have given in the offering. Woohoo. It's like, come on, guys, there is so much more. Talking Big C Church now, right? Talking Big C, of which we are a part of. This is a problem for the church in America. We must wake up. Judgment is coming to the house of God. It's a friend to those who want it. It's a friend to those who say, I'm not happy being asleep. I want what God has for me. We learned last weekend at the Courts of Heaven conference that we're going to be teaching this prayer model here this fall. But it's like, there are destinies for you in the courts of heaven written in God's book. You know that, right? There are scrolls in heaven with your name on them and your destiny. Are you happy with letting those things go unfulfilled? You can't be. Otherwise, you get to heaven and you're going to say, oh my gosh, what did I miss? You don't want that. You want to know what God has planned for you here and now. And it's awesome. Joshua got to see the sun stand still. How awesome is that? Because he dared to ask. And he was engaged in the process. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And it says, there has never been a day like that. There has never been a day like that. Listen, man, people Monday, if they had their eyes open, saw something that very few human beings who ever walked this earth ever get to see. And I don't believe that's the last time that God will do things that our eyes will see that very few people who have ever lived will ever get the chance to see. Come on. Are you hearing me, church? God wants to do things that will blow your little mind because he's God. And he just does stuff like that to the people who are audacious enough to ask him and engage in the process. And I hope that's the kind of people we are. I hope we're not satisfied with religion. I hope we're not satisfied to just let it roll. You know, listen, if you're not praying for our president, you have no right to criticize him. Just like if you weren't praying for Obama, you had no right to criticize him. Because the answer is on your knees. The answer is calling out to heaven. The answer for the crisis in America today, it's no accident that God is sending a worship team from Charlottesville, Virginia, to partner with us. I mean, God wants to do something. He wants to shift the culture in America. Listen, we're about to own the building that Abraham Lincoln visited twice on his campaign to end slavery in America. Are you hearing me, church? For what? This morning, I got out of my truck on Main Street. I parked down there so y'all can have a nice parking spot closer to the building and not get so wet. And I looked on the ground. And there's a Lincoln penny.
There was one by my truck.
Is that right? And I
I picked it up.
And I looked up. I got it right here. I looked up and I said, dear Jesus,
oh my God.
This is the man who stayed in that building right there. I'm just telling you, there is something going on, church. We have a chance to partner with heaven to change history. Oh my gosh. Chris is still freaking out on the front row here. We can't be caught sleeping when it's our time to change history. Listen, this is our time. This is our time. We get one shot at this. One of these days, we're pushing up daisies, right? But not today. We can sleep on the couch of heaven. Yours is a lot prettier than mine. Mine's a lot nastier, but
oh my God.
I do not know. I don't know how to preach it any better than this, church. I really don't. See, here's the thing. If our destiny depends on me stirring you up and getting you motivated and all enthused about this, we're all in a bunch of trouble. Because
right.
I am just not that good.
Right.
But Jesus is that good.
Yeah.
Will you wake up? Will you listen? Will you open your ears? Will you open your eyes and realize something is happening in our day? You can either curse what you see going on, or you can say, God has a better plan. Come on, God has a better plan than what we see around us. God has a better plan. Tell your neighbor, God has a better plan.
God
tell him. Tell him like you mean it. God has a better plan. And we are going to be a part of it. We're not going to let it pass us by. What audacious prayers are you praying today that only a miracle can answer so that only God can get the credit for? What audacious prayers are you praying today that only a miracle can answer? If you're not, you're living a life far below God's plan for you. And today, I think he's just inviting us to partner with heaven. His church will arise, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But we don't get to be a part if we're just sitting down and asleep on the couch. Our anniversary is this weekend, right? 4 years. I believe that we've already shifted into something different. And it just depends on who wants to go with us. That's just kind of what it depends on. Who wants to go with us? I mean, Krista and I came back from Togo. We said, we're moving on. I hope you all want to come. I don't want you just to sit and wait. I don't want you to fall asleep. I want your eyes open. That's the way it starts, is your eyes open. You say, my gosh, I didn't know I was asleep. I didn't know I'd been sleeping. Today, God can supernaturally open eyes and help you see where you're at and I think where he wants to take you and to challenge you like he did with Joshua. It's awesome that Pastor Roy and Honey Wolfdale will be here in about 3 weeks. They're coming through on their way to House of David. I said, Pastor Roy, you're preaching. Because God has said he's going to do something among the Blackfeet people, and I want to be a part of that. It's not just about us. It's about God moving on the face of the earth. I told Bishop Paul, I said, listen, you've messed Krista and I up real good a couple weeks ago. I said, we still haven't recovered. We're wrecked from this. And he said, come on. God's taking you higher. He's taking you to a new place. And I said, I believe it. I believe it. He sent the man of God here Monday during the eclipse. Who cares what the world says? God was speaking, and we were alert and awake to hear him. And I'm telling you, that invitation is to all of us this morning. Tonight at 6 o'clock, listen, if you've never been baptized since you said yes to Jesus, first of all, have you said yes to Jesus? Second of all, have you been water baptized? Why is that important? Because it's an obedience step. It's what the Bible prescribes, because it's exactly what Jesus did. He invites us to follow his footsteps, right? And baptism doesn't save you, but it says, I've decided to follow Jesus, and I'm going to get wet and look like a fool because he's worth it. And guess what? When Jesus obeyed the command, heaven opened. God began to speak. Some people said, oh, was that thunder? What was that? It's God speaking. Come on, are you hearing him today? Or are you just hearing thunder or noise? Man, if Jesus has done something in you, you need to obey. You need to follow through on that. That's what's happening at 6 o'clock tonight. But it's not just for those who've never been water baptized. See, Krista and I have been exposed to something that is like I've never seen before. But it's totally biblical. It's all of us being baptized. It's all of us making a commitment to follow God. This is not something that should happen just once in your life. It's not like a rededication. It's like, no, an ongoing thing. We're following Jesus. In the Jewish culture, they were immersed at least 3 times a year. Every time there was a feast, they said, yep, we're in. We're committing again. We want to be cleansed, man. We've fallen asleep. We've let sin, we've let crap attach itself to us. We got to get clean. We got to go into this next season prepared. That's what tonight's about. And I know it's inconvenient. And I know it's like, I got things to do. Trust me, football season's about to start. Don't even get me started. It's like there's so much other things we have to do. Like, okay. But there's nothing more important than hearkening to his voice and saying, yes, Lord. You want to see awesome things happen? You just walk in obedience. Tonight we have a pool big enough for us all to get in. And Krista and I have been a part of immersions at the House of David. And I've been, you know what? Listen to this. Amazing God. I found out Friday by accident that 1 year ago today was when I stood in the freezing waters of the Glacier Lake in Montana with 150 Indians and we immersed together. And you might find this hard to believe. I'm just telling you what happened. But we're standing there in the water, 38 degrees. By the way, Carrie has said the water is 90 degrees at her pool today because she has the heater turned on. So, you got it good. We're standing in this lake. It's 38 degrees. We just baptized 150 Indians. And the eagles began to circle overhead. And they were singing, "Welcome to the Hotel California." They weren't. Wrong eagles. These were the real eagles, all right? And then this sounds so nuts. A school of fish began to circle around us. It's like the Lion King, right? A circle of life. It's like this, like, Lord, what are you doing? And then, as if we needed more, an earthquake. It's like all of nature partners with heaven and says, yeah, because you're the boss. You're the boss. So I hope there's not an earthquake tonight. I mean, you know, at least a devastating one. You know, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do, Lord, whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you, I think in us corporately, something's going to happen tonight. I believe that. I don't know how many will come. I'll just tell you this. The forecast says it's going to stop raining and we're going to be there. And if it's raining at 6 o'clock, we'll just go indoors and tear up the Traister's house. You know, whatever we have to do, just have a good time together. But God wants to, he wants for us to go through this transition into this next season and be ready for all that he wants to do. And you know, here's the thing. Because we have persevered and we've fought together, we've battled together, we've believed God together, we've sacrificed together, we've sweat, we've bled, right? To get to this point, the finish line is going to be all the more wonderful to experience. And that's not the finish line. I hate to tell you. That's just the next step in the process. But it'll be wonderful to experience that together. What a victory. Once we get in there, then it's like, okay, now, Lord, what's next? Buying the buildings is just step one. We've got a long way to go, but how many of you know God's going to go with us every step of the way? Because that's his promise. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? I'm going to challenge you with this. When we meet together next Sunday, you know, this is just a thought, and I haven't even talked to my team about this, but I just really feel like it would be appropriate for us to bring a birthday offering to thank God for 4 years. So next Sunday, you and your people in your life that matter to you, just think about that. What can you bring? Yeah, to honor God, to thank God. There's so much that God wants to teach us about being grateful, about sacrifice, about letting his purpose matter more to us than anything else. Jesus said, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, guess what? Don't even worry about what you need. Don't worry about it. Because he's the exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or imagine God. But if we're asleep or we don't look at it right, we think it's about us, it's for us, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the opportunity. And Krista and I have seen with our eyes what happens when people who have far less than we do decide to go for it. And does God honor that or what? So why don't you close your eyes with me this morning? Thank you, Lord. Spirit, I know you're speaking today. Just pray you give us ears to hear what you're saying to your church this hour. Lord, we lift up our friends in Houston to you this morning. God, would you have mercy? Have mercy on those men and women who are battling the floods right now, God. In the midst of devastation, would you be the ark, Lord, that lifts them above the flood? Pray, God, for believers in Houston that they would have the mind of Christ. Pray for creative solutions. I pray, Lord, that they would arise in this moment of trouble and that your kingdom would be brighter than anything else. People see, God, with their eyes, the deliverance of their God. And I pray, God, for those who don't know you. Oh, God, mercy. Mercy on the lives. 2,000 calls for rescue this morning alone in Houston. Oh, God, I pray that you would give the mayor of that city and the governor of that state, first responders, God, give them wisdom, give them favor. And I pray, Jesus, that your name would be lifted up. People would turn to you, that what the enemy meant for destruction, God, you would turn to an opportunity for life today in Jesus' name. And God, may it not take a calamity for us to cry out and seek heaven, but Lord, today, intentionally, on purpose, because we're a hungry people, we're a thirsty people, we are crying out today, God, and we say we must have more of you. We are desperate for you, God. We're no longer content to live our lives for ourselves, no longer even content to say, I'm a Christian, I go to church. But God, to know today you've woken us up that there is more, that this world needs more, God. And you're just waiting for people with a Joshua spirit who will be audacious enough to cry out, or that we will see what the men and women of old who dared to believe you in the midst of difficulty, who took the promise of God as their command, as their marching orders, and let nothing stop them. God, we will see victory over our enemies, and our enemies are not flesh and blood, but they are principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in the unseen realm. We have an enemy, whether we believe it or not. And we say, God, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. We declare it, God. We declare it. Would you cry out with your mouth and just say, we declare it, God. We believe it, God. We agree with your word, O God. Let your will be done, your kingdom come on earth in St. Joseph in our day. God, there's so much happening in the world that can cause our hearts to faint. And I pray we would get our eyes off of the headlines and get our eyes on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we press in, Lord, in this hour. Thank you, God, that on the eve of this 4-year anniversary, we have the opportunity to watch heaven at work. Thank you, Lord, for sending the man of God to us this Monday. Thank you that you remembered St. Joseph, that you remembered Restoration Church. We're not the only church, but God, thank you that we're one of the elements in the body that you want to use in this hour. May we do our part and do it well. Not by our strength, God, but through your Spirit working in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are people here today who've never committed their lives to Jesus. You might be religious and say, yeah, I know who he is, but I've never said, I belong to you. And my life is yours. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? Nobody's looking around, so I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want to see who I'm praying for today. All right? See your hand. Thank you. Who else? Come on, man. God wants to do business with you today. Who else? Who else can I pray for? You've never said yes to Jesus. This is the start of a new beginning for you. It's awesome. How many of you would be honest enough to say, I've been sleeping? And I'm hearing the alarm bells on my alarm clock. It's time that I woke up. Who am I praying for today? Who is that? Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for your honesty. God's going to honor your heart today. I believe that. How many of you have heard the cry today and say, you know what, I'm going to believe like Joshua. I'm going to stand on this promise and I'm moving forward and we're going to see heaven move on our behalf. If you're agreeing with that, would you raise your hand? Let me see who's standing together. Now you can look around. Look around. Look around at the people standing with you today. See, we're a part of an army that God is raising up in this hour. So let's pray together. Would you just lift up your hands if you're comfortable? And even if you're not comfortable, lift them up anyway. And say, Father God, we believe you. We trust you. We commit our life to you. We commit our future to you. Thank you that our future is better than our past. That the past is past. Old things have passed away. And you are making all things new. Make me new today, God. I receive the gift of forgiveness. I repent of my sin. I turn away. I turn toward you. I ask, Holy Spirit, you fill me today, fresh and new. Fill me up, God, to overflowing so that other people come in contact with you because of you pouring out of me. Thank you that you're changing this city. You're changing this nation because you're changing me. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.